I was listening to an audiobook a few weeks ago. In the book, one of the main characters had found himself as a part of a plot to assassinate their king. His reasons and motives appeared to be selfless on the surface, but he soon realized that all of his intent was self-centered. Where he once thought that this would be the only way to help his nation survive turmoil, he realized that there was another option, to help his king and walk beside him, come alongside him, and help him up. He found that in his thinking, he had become the exact image of a man who had betrayed him and left him for dead. He saw a reality that is nothing short of biblical. Caring only for those that he already cared for was an empty ambition. But he learned that caring for and protecting those that he even despised was a virtue of pure value. And so he protected the king from his fellow assassins. He found completion and empowerment and joy in being selfless. Although this story may not perfectly exemplify what it means to be selfless or to walk in selflessness, we see in it a reality that the Bible has been declaring for thousands of years. There is joy in being selfless. Let's take a look at what Paul says about this in Philippians 1, beginning in verse 1, going through to verse 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with the knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. God's word speaks for itself. I think I'm done here. First, let me explain something before I really dive into this passage that I just find to be really cool about these introduction parts when you're reading through Paul's letters. A lot of what you see through the epistles, through Paul's letters, through Peter's letters, is you see correction, you see encouragement, you see instruction. But in these sections, you get to see how the authors are modeling that. You get to see what it is that they're doing, how they're applying it to their lives, and what the result is for them. So Paul is going to help us understand what it means to live a life of selfless joy. With that being said, I want to jump into two major points to be taken from this passage that we can learn about joy. Number one, prayer is essential to having joy. Prayer is absolutely essential to having joy. We need to be close to God to truly realize joy because joy comes from God. One of the ways that we get close to God is through obedience. Right, as we walk in obedience, sin separates. It causes separation to happen in your walk with Jesus. But righteousness, living in obedience, allows you to walk side by side with the Lord guiding you, the Lord leading you. You're close with the Lord. Another way that we get close to God is through prayer. The psalmist writes in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." See, at Evident Life Church, we're very familiar with this. We understand this concept. We are a people of prayer, pursuing God and loving others. That's who we are. That's our identity because we understand that we can't do this without the Lord. We understand that if we want to be filled by God, we need to be close to God. And just doing things on our own doesn't let us get close to God. If I want to get close to my wife, I have to talk with her. I have to spend time with her. I have to be with her. So why do I think that I can be close to God with never approaching him? I will never have joy apart from God. And so Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. And he continues in verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with the knowledge and all discernment, so you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. There are few things as joy-filling as spending time in prayer, spending time with God. There are few things as joy-filling as spending time in the presence of our God, our Lord, our Savior. We will not have joy if we are going to anything or anyone other than God. There's this quote from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity that I absolutely love. He said, God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on gas, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. So the same, if we're not running off of God, we will burn up and die out. If we're not depending on the Lord, we will burn up and die out. See, I think we fail to understand that this life wasn't meant to be lived on our own strength. It was meant to be lived by the strength of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. We will not have joy if we're going to anything or anyone other than God. Back in high school, I used to be a cross-country runner. That's me. I used to be so cute. What happened? All the youth are like, oh my gosh, he looked worse than me. Before running in cross-country, I used to love drinking soda. I used to love eating junk food, as you could tell by my magnificent shape. I loved to eat unhealthy. But once I got in to cross country, I was told of the importance of giving my body what it needed to run best. I needed to eat healthier. I needed to provide myself with the proper nutrition. I needed to be hydrated. I needed water. And the evidence of when I ate or when I drank well, in comparison to when I didn't, was extremely prevalent. I'm talking about on my times that I would be running, on a good day, I'd get like 24 minutes and 3 miles, a 5K. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. If I eat bad the day before, 35, 36 minutes. That was a real ego booster for me. It was rough. It was hard. When I gave my body what I physically needed, I would run faster, I would run harder, I would run better versus when I didn't. So the same in our lives, in our Christian walks, when we try to live apart from God, we don't make that progress. We lose progress. But when we live our lives in accordance to how God has positioned us to his word, and through prayer, we move. When we are filled by God, we move. We need to be in loving union with God. You see, through prayer, Paul even lifts others in joy, right? He's praying that their love may abound more and more with all knowledge and discernment. He's praying that they would grow in their relationship with God so the same their joy may increase. He rejoices with them. You see, the focus that Paul understands is that joy isn't just for himself. Which brings us to point number two. Genuine joy is not selfish. Genuine joy is not selfish. Let me break this down. If you are selfishly seeking joy, you will not find it. You will not find it. Joy is not a self-sought substance. I can't say, I want more joy, and I'm going to go and seek out more joy and find joy. Because remember, it's not there. Joy is found in Christ. Jesus says in John 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The fullness of our joy comes through Christ. It comes through walking in obedience. It comes through being in the presence of God. You will not find joy apart from him. It is a selfless joy that we have. Where does Paul's joy lie? It lies in his relationship with Jesus and the work that the Lord is doing. Think of all the projects that we're doing in the front of the building. Right? This is a move. We just spent 4 weeks talking about this. Of where God is moving us into the front of the building. Right? We're not excited about what's going on because the church is just growing. I mean, we're excited about that. But more than that, we're excited about the fact that God is doing something in and through us. We're excited about the fact that we get to participate in something. We're excited about the fact that now we get to connect to our community. We're excited to see that the work that the Lord is going to do. We're excited to see him move. Our joy in the whole front side of the building doesn't take place in the work that we're doing. It takes place in the work that God is doing. Paul's joy is in loving God and loving others. Again in verse 3, I thank my God and all my remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Have you ever just tried to celebrate something all alone? It's kind of awkward, you know? You wake up in the morning, it's your birthday, you grab your little party horn, and then that's it. That's your birthday celebration. Congratulations, happy birthday. Celebrating something alone is weird. It's awkward. It's not right. But celebrating something with other people is amazing. It's almost like God designed it this way. Who would have thought? Rejoicing in what God is doing with other people is awesome. I love to share what God is doing in my life. As a matter of fact, sometimes I can't help but share it. You know when God does something really cool in your life and you're like, I just need to call somebody. I just need to let them know, dude, you will not believe what God just did in my life. We actually have somebody in our congregation that does this with me, Cody Knudsen, one of our new members. When God does something amazing in his life, he calls me and shares what God is doing. He calls me and lets me know, hey, dude, so I was praying about this and God just totally showed up. Dude, that's awesome. Now look what just happened. His joy that he had in the Lord now is passed on to me. We both recognize that God is moving and we get to celebrate together. We need to be a people that do this with one another. We need to find somebody in our lives that we can share what God is doing in our lives, share the progress of our faith, and share the fact that God is still moving, living, breathing in our lives. Right? We claim, we know that God is still doing stuff, but you know what? It's very easy to get discouraged when you're never hearing of what God is doing. But we can't be a people that let that happen. We need to be a people of praise and be quick to praise the Lord for what he is doing. And look at Paul. He is overjoyed by the Philippians' relationship with God and their progress in the faith. He sees that God is working and bringing that work to completion in them, and he celebrates that. Do we celebrate the progress of each other's faith? Or do we get jealous that God is moving in their lives and not in ours? Do we celebrate that God has had a breakthrough in somebody's life? Or do we just wish that that would happen to me? Where's my breakthrough, God? You know what? Sometimes I hold to this belief that when we recognize that God is bigger than our circumstances, we have the faith to see the Lord move. But when we're just selfishly wanting, like, God, where's my turn? We're missing out. God knows our heart. God knows our heart. See, when we celebrate what the Lord is doing in somebody else's life, we rejoice with them selflessly. We celebrate with them because of them and the work that the Lord is doing through them. Do we celebrate the work that the Lord is doing? All this means is taking our eyes off of ourselves and realizing that there is more to this world than me. If we look to God, we will see Him move. If we take time to see others, really see them and really talk with them, we can hear of the progress of their faith and celebrate with them, or we can hear the lack thereof and walk beside them and come alongside them that they might make the progress that the Lord desires for them. See, this is the fruit of selfless joy. Joy is not selfish. Genuine joy is not selfish. We need to yearn for one another as Paul yearns for the church in Philippi. We need to be excited for what God is doing. We need to be excited for what God is doing in each other's lives and be excited for what God is doing in our lives. It's not boastful and prideful of yourself to share what God is doing. Be quick to share what the Lord is doing. This is unity. This is how God set things up. I've been sharing this with the youth the entire time that I've been going through the series. Doing things God's way is the best way to do it. And the way that I see it, doing things God's way is the only way to do it. So who am I to try to find joy on my own when joy is found in the Lord? When you do things God's way, you will find joy. Let's pray. Jesus, we are thankful for you. Father, you are good. You give us joy, and it's only found in you. So God, may you direct our hearts to you. I don't know the circumstance or the situation that's going on in each other's lives, should there be any. But Lord, I pray that they would turn their eyes to focus upon you, that you would be present and waiting for them with your arms wide open as the father of the prodigal son was and welcoming them. Jesus, may they see that joy is only found in you and in no other. May they see the emptiness of the ambition of not doing things your way. God, I pray that you would encourage them. Stir in their spirits, stir in their minds, and ready them. Jesus, this life that we live is a difficult life to live. There's a lot of adversity. There are a lot of things that come against us. So, Lord, we lean upon your joy, the joy that you can give. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances, but joy is dependent upon your grace and your faithfulness. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to you, and we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus.